Hey everybody, welcome to J2K Podcast. I'm Jeff.
I'm Justin from a phone.
I'm Christine.
And we also have, again, our special guest Rochelle sitting in for Justin because he's on a phone.
I had to make a trip to Portland. I've got a friend visiting from my hometown in Missouri. Came to visit me.
Amazing.
So I told him I had to step out and do the podcast really quick, and he asked what it was about, and I said, well, we pretty much talk about poop and stuff. and he was like, well, tell me about it. So I told him, the sitting, standing to wipe, and he was like, wait. You mean not everybody stands to wipe?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
I swear to God, he said, he went into it immediately. He said, I try and poop naked. It's more pleasurable.
And does he like candles?
My preferred. He said, my preferred wiping method, I will stand up, full stand, and put my foot, and Jeff, you said this earlier, he puts his foot on the toilet seat and wipes Captain Morgan style.
That makes sense to me.
Captain Morgan style. That's awesome.
So we're going to name that method the Captain Morgan, or the Morgan.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
Morgan
perfect.
Method.
So right out of the box, we're right to the poop talk.
I know.
I had I spoke briefly to a author filmmaker who started listening to the second podcast and was like, it was too gross, and I stopped listening.
Oh my God.
Yep.
So now that we got that out of the way, what did you guys do this week?
I worked.
Well, later in the podcast, I was going to go into about how we know what's best for us to do, and then we refuse to do it. And so I was doing that this week, and I was suffering the consequences of my own thoughts.
I think we're all guilty of that, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm including all of you on that.
Always.
Even having been invited to do this again, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. It's so much fun. I love it so much. And then I'm like, but I have to leave the house. Oh boy. So I kind of get that.
Mine is preparation for things to come. I procrastinate.
What I would like to do, though, is we did get a Twitter direct message from Buryukova Tatiana.
Oh, was it? Do you want to see?
Well, she said, she says, or he, I don't know, I couldn't tell, said, maybe you are interested online chat with sex model. I have interesting offer for you.
Super exciting.
So
let's get them on the show.
Well, J2K podcast, or at J2K podcast on Twitter, like, blocked her.
Damn it. So much for our next guest.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was so excited, though. I'm like, ooh, people are...
interesting conversation with Dick Mubble.
I like how there's... maybe you are interested online chat?
That English half down.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's still better than most people in America.
Right.
True.
We did have another listener, second time messenger, Amanda _ JT23, sent us an Instagram message saying that she's a set wiper, but her ex-husband was a stand wiper. But her question is, what percentage of men dab or wipe the pee hole? And I think she's asking this because her boyfriend dabs his pee hole. I'm just guessing, though, based off of what...
I'm a non dabber. I'm going to go ahead and fess up right now. I let that underwear soak up that little dot.
Yeah, I will admit that that happens for me a lot, too. But there are circumstances that you're in, where, and especially since you're not as old as me, what would you call it? The trickle factor afterwards? Like, there is pee caught in your urethra, and unless you milk the urethra, as my urologist likes to call it,
then, oh my God.
Then I don't want people to see a wet spot where my junk's at.
I figured that you were sense. A non-dabber.
I've dabbed
by, like, my analysis of the bathroom floor.
That's the trickle factor.
Like, we have dark tile, and it's a little shiny and a little bit darker right around the toilet.
Seriously, man. I try to milk the urethra and get it all out, but it just doesn't all come out.
That is such a clinical term, milk the urethra.
Now I'm going to be like, are you milking in there?
Tell us, Jeff. Well, are you milking?
She, like, when I take a bath, she likes to knock or, like, jump in real quick, like she's going to catch me masturbating or something.
It's like, it depends on my mood. I'm either feeling frisky or cautious.
Right. Right. It does. You gotta set the tone, Jeff.
One time I was like, boo, 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 boo. And he's like, I'm on the phone. I was like, oops.
So, Justin, are you, and you're, like, you're not very old still. You're in your late 20s, right? Or?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm almost 37.
Okay. Oh, okay. You're mid 30s. Are you experiencing the dribble drabble that XSP comes out after you think you're done?
Where there's a lot of ink in your well?
Well, after you're done writing the letter.
Ink in your well.
Your cup would run over.
So, I shake. That whole term, like, that little phrase, shake it more than once and you're playing with it. Or shake it more than twice and you're playing with it. Dude, just shake it until you don't have a wet spot on your underwear.
Which is how the drops get on the floor, babe.
I knew it.
There's like, you can jiggle it, though. You don't have to, like,
fondle it.
Fire hose it.
I know, there's like drops on the wall, on the mirror, on the glass shower. So,
since we're just fully in the toilet now, what about you girls? When you pee, you spray pee up under the seat.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like, big time. And this is an unsaid thing
throughout my
life.
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard of it, but I've witnessed it and I've had to clean it up.
Yeah.
At least I wasn't.
Yeah.
What?
I said we weren't even told about it. At least I wasn't.
Well, you don't realize it until you go to clean and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's messy.
It's like you got it on mist.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when you gotta go, it just shoots out fast.
Mist mode.
Yeah.
It's like my garden, like my garden nozzle, like flat, mist,
shower. We all know what that one's for.
My favorite, though, is when she goes in there and then you hear a fart.
Oh, gosh.
And she's like, no! Don't hear that!
That's how it goes, though. That's seriously.
Well, like, I had this thing when we first started dating that I was just like, I'm the perfect girl.
Right.
I don't do anything. Yeah. And then the first time I let a fart out, I was like in the bathroom and it was just like, I just, a little one came out, but then like it just kept coming. Mm-hmm. It was like, and finally I was like, no. Are you done? I said to myself in the bathroom.
I have tried to muffle farts.
Oh, it's
before.
Possible.
It's, you can't.
And especially when you're on the toilet.
Yeah, because it's like an echo chamber. It's like perfectly tuned to your astral acoustics.
Yeah. And then he...
and she doesn't mean like outer space astral either.
Yeah, the illusion was gone after that. I fart. Sorry, I fart.
Over after that.
Yeah. The best.
So far, we've only talked about bathrooms.
Yep, that's so it. Far. I tried to read, like, you know, a question, and it was from a sex bot, and then the next one was right back to the toilet.
I think I'm with Rochelle on the the things we know we should not be doing, but we do anyway. With the procrastination. Okay. Oh man, that is. Oof.
It's rough, but we do it to ourselves. Is the thing.
Yeah, you exactly. have like this internal, okay, here's my timeline in my head.
Yeah. Oh, there goes that timeline. Yeah,
and then you're disappointed in yourself. Yeah. So there's not only the fact that you didn't follow through with it, it's, there's the regret associated mm-hmm. with the fact that you're a big old procrastinator.
Right. Right. It's true.
It's hard.
It's a vicious cycle, and I try to joke about it more than complain about it, because it's nobody's fault but mine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm owning it.
Yeah, it's a big downward spiral. Like, you get upset about yourself, but you still do it and get even more depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard to just get up and do the right thing and get on with it.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel like, for me, I feel like I'm better at that kind of stuff at work in terms of staying on point. And then because I give all my energy to my job, yeah. when I get home, I'm like, meh.
I'm
probably because
the
there's
way.
No one to hold me accountable. Yeah. Other than myself.
I try to, like, give all I can at work. And then I get home and I'm like, and now it's time to be a slob and just a non-contributing member of society because I left all that at work. I have nothing left to offer.
I know. Oh. Where's he at?
Hey, where are you at, Justin?
I'm downtown Portland
oh.
at Patty's Irish Pub.
Oh.
Getting ready to eat some corned beef. And
ooh,
cabbage.
Yum.
It sounds like a little Asian lady's beating somebody up in the background.
I think that's a subway, or well, not subway, a streetcar. I don't know, what do they call it? Max train?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And also there's a little Asian lady beating people up also.
He knew it.
I can see how that could be confusing.
Other than the little Asian lady beating people up, there is the most unsettling thing is seeing these scooters.
Oh, geez.
Guys, they're everywhere. Like, everybody is on one of these scooters.
When did
they're
those
on the
go
sidewalks,
into Portland,
they're in
you
the
know?
Streets.
Yeah, they had those in Ohio when
yeah.
I was there.
Oh, man, they're just everywhere. They're, like, running into each other.
Oh,
and
no. Oh, no.
Are they doing any fat
I had
tricks,
a,
yo?
There's not even any tricks. They're not even doing any tricks on them or anything. I was hoping for some little, like, wheelies or something. There was a guy at the park on a bench with one in front of him, and I was walking past him, and as I passed, he stuck his hand out and put it on top of the scooter like I was going to try and take it from him or something. It's bizarre.
That is crazy.
That lime scooter's mine.
Don't even
it
look
is,
at it.
It is like, and I'm liberal, but it's like snowflake Twilight Zone out here. It's just fucking everybody's got these electric scooters, and they're drinking coffee, and they have their little ear pod headphones in. It's bizarre.
Like everybody.
He's the only one walking.
See, I don't understand. I mean, I understand ear pods, but doesn't anybody ever just lose one? Like, is that a thing? Because that would be me.
Oh,
I
yeah,
would have
be me too.
Just one ear pod about a week after I got them.
Well, yeah, and if it's the right one, it's the one that controls everything.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I think
oh,
so.
Oh, God.
So if you only have the left one left, you
it's
have to
useless.
Just listen to whatever's on at all the
you
time.
You can't turn it up or down.
You're at the volume you were at when you lost the right, and that's it.
Oh, no.
Existential crisis.
First world problems. That and your scooter just popping a wheel or something. I don't know. I don't know what kind of wheels they use on those.
So my go ahead.
People lose them all the time, and I see them on Craigslist, like, Austin found, I found your ear pod.
Oh.
If you lost an ear pod, tell me where it was, and blah,
oh
blah, blah.
Oh, my gosh.
47 people respond
I know,
every
right?
day.
Can you identify an ear pod?
Right?
It's white. It's apple.
Where were you at, or what were you saying, Jeff?
Oh, I was going to say, like, my whole thing about the original topic about knowing... For me, it's about, like, how I should think and act and those sort of things. And so, like, I get into a disturbance about something, and what happens is, like, I don't really have an example. I do, but I don't want to say it. because it involves a topic I don't want to talk about. But the example, though, is that this disturbance is caused based off of an action I take, and I'm right, and the answer I get is not the one I want, but it's acceptable. But I stay in disturbance because I am right. And so, to a fault, and my sponsor, AA sponsor, says it way better than I, but, like, it doesn't matter how right I am. Like, if I stay disturbed and I'm, when I stay disturbed, then I'm thinking about, like, getting even or making somebody pay or how I'm right, how I'm wronged.
No, you feel wronged.
Right. I'm right and how I've been wronged. And I just, you know, if I don't, like, go outside of myself and seek help, like, what I did in this disturbance recently is I called I have a couple different guys that I consider a sponsor, and I called one and spoke with him, and just speaking with him, like, I was able to, you know, lose the disturbance. But the reason I brought this up is because all the things he said and all the things I know about after the call, I knew before the call. But still, I was in disturbance.
Yeah. Well, and I saw you that day. After you had talked to him, you seemed lighter. But before that, it...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm sure we all experienced, like, how can I get myself out of the disturbance?
Right.
Because I don't always have the option of calling somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's tough to break that cycle. Well, I'm always on the phone, like, a phone call away.
Well, I think it kind of...
I love you, buddy.
Do you think it kind of stems even to our original? We know the right thing to do.
That's what it's from.
Yeah. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So is there a way you can be like, take a moment in your
day? I tried. I went to the bathroom and I prayed.
Yeah.
I prayed in the bathroom. I talked with some people. Like, this is starting to go into the area I don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
A time not too long ago where I knew all the right things, the right steps and the right things I should have said, and I did completely the opposite just because, just spite them, but the only one that was hurting was me. Like, it didn't affect them whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it was just me. And I think reminding myself of that, I'm usually pretty good at it. That day I was not. I tried meditating, I tried listening to therapeutic music and doing some reading, and nothing got me out of that mood. But I think that's part of being human, is constantly having to remind yourself, hey, I know this is your instinct, and you probably really want to do this, but it's not going to be the right thing, and you're not going to feel any better about it.
Yeah. I agree. I get like that at work too. I get up in my head.
Absolutely.
And I am like a wound up person.
Oh, yeah.
I am super like revved at work. And I'm like, go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. And I get like so in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start like word vomit. Like, it's my worst habit. And I hear myself doing it. And I'm like, oh my God, shut up.
And you know you
and
shouldn't.
I've gotten a lot better at it over the years. And Jeff has helped me a lot through it. Because I have this horrible habit of just like talking out loud about just like negative things that I can't control at work. Me and there's no control.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just stating facts.
Yep.
Yeah, I have no control over it. So it's just shut up if you don't have anything positive to say. I'm like, shut up. I tell myself shut up a lot.
The other day my supervisor asked me how I was, and I said, you know, it's a if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything all kind of day.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty quiet today.
I need to like tattoo that on my forearm so I can look at it.
Okay. Yeah, I have to remind myself of that.
Stop talking if you don't have anything nice to say. But yeah, I'm more aware of it definitely as I age.
But it's a struggle every day.
Well, I love you guys. I'm gonna go eat some food.
All
I'm starving. And my friends are all staring at me out of a window.
Super awkward.
They're wondering where your scooter is.
You can now tell them that you've safely like made it out of the toilet into like self-help sort of realm.
Sort of.
I like where this is going, though.
Hey, and right. Watch
I'll
out.
Talk to you later, guys.
Yeah, watch out for the Asian lady.
Yeah.
Sounds angry.
I'll do it. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Justin squats is so appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, his Justin's name in Christine's phone is Justin Squats because that's what he does.
But his friend stands.
Right back to the toilet.
Oh man.
Dang it. Let's make a vow. Let's like try to keep it in the out of the toilet for the last part of the podcast.
Also, the other thing that I had was, and I was gonna mention it last podcast, was the casino I work at has a buffet, and I hurt my finger one time, and I got light duty. I hurt it at work, so I wouldn't get light duty if I hurt it somewhere else. Mm-mm. But because I hurt myself at work, and it was a workman's comp claim, like, they have to give you light duty, so they had me seating people in the buffet. And I will tell you that it was amazingly fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a people person, and so it was like, you get the people that are just, you know, grumpy and
hungry.
They know what they want. They know where they want to sit, and they've got a regular place. But, like, a lot of the people I could just interact with, it was fun. And the people that worked down there were mostly, like, really fun. And I think that, you know, I was just like this spark running around, you know, mm-hmm. helping people have fun.
Substitute cheerleader.
Right. And the great part was that I was getting paid my wage, which is way more than you get paid as a seater in the buffet.
Sure. Yeah.
So like at one point I worked like a mid shift like I do now, but it was the end of breakfast or beginning of lunch, and they showed me the sections. There's, you know, sections 1 through 4 that they seat all the time, or no, 2 through 4 they seat all the time. And only one, like, if it's okay. And then they were seating some people in, like, section 5. And this one kid was like, I'm in 6, so I'll take tables back here. So I was railroading people back, like, and setting them in this section. And somebody came up to me and said, hey, 6 is closed.
You're just going.
And I was like, well, that kid said he would take the tables. And they're like, stop seating people there. What difference does it make, really, if you've got somebody that's going to go there, right?
He was probably wanting that whole section to himself so he can make more tips.
Whatever. Like, I was on fire with it. But there was a gal who was, I think she cleared the tables, but now she works in the coffee shop. And then a guy seats people, but he also is a cashier, because mm-hmm. that's what they are. Like a host cashier, they call it.
They take turns.
Right. And his name is James Lyon, and his girlfriend's name is Mariah, mm-hmm. Mariah Jean. And but it was funny because I hit it off with James right away. He's tall, he's loud, he's super weird.
He's awesome.
And, like, we hit it off right away. So out of the weirdness of us, like, we started spitballing stuff off each other and it ended up that we're going to start a band. And the buffet's name is the Cedar Plank Buffet.
Yeah.
So James was going to be Cedar Plank. And then he was going to have backup singers called the Buffettes.
Oh!
Which I think is amazing.
But not just any backup singers. The Buffettes are... I know you're not supposed to say midget, but it works better for this joke. It's supposed to be little people, but they're midget surfer bodybuilders.
Oh,
yes.
Buffettes.
Yeah.
Girls.
Because they're buff.
Ets.
Like Smurfette.
Yeah. So then, like, we started to do this. Cedar Plank and the Buffettes.
Yes.
So now... Like, in my job, I have to roam around where there's games, and there's some games outside of the buffet, and I'll see James, and I'll make sure that I'm not in his line of sight, and I very loudly will sing that song.
Oh, that's so
funny.
I'll
go, Cedar Plank, and you will hear him go, and the Buffettes!
That's awesome.
It's kind of like our Marco Polo, but not.
It is, but yeah, it's the weirdness. Yeah.
The first time I met him, he came into the Revenue Bank, which is where everybody and the buffet gets their money for the day. And he started making this cricket sound, and I know you've heard it.
Oh, it's dead on.
It's spot on.
Sounds like crickets.
Absolutely spot on. So anytime I hear that sound, I'll smile a bit because I know he's somewhere.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I'll usually see him walking like three or four banks down.
It's a talent. Like, yes.
It's literally is like you're amazing. Outside on a summer night and the crickets are chirping.
Sweet.
It's really cool.
Sounds just
is it as good as my turkey?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you do your turkey and we'll see.
Ooh, turkey.
Yeah. I don't know if I can do it that under pressure.
I won't look at you. That is good. Oh my gosh. Jeff.
But the funniest part
is do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
No, I can't do it. I seriously can't do it because now I'm smiling.
You can do it, man.
I'm sure it sounds nothing like a turkey.
No, it does. It
almost sounds exactly like a turkey.
I did it to the turkeys at the fair. No response.
None?
So they know it's not a turkey.
Oh, but our new favorite game.
Oh, yeah.
Because we went to the Polk County Fair and then we went to State Fair. And yeah. State Fair, not so much because the turkeys were done at that point. Because
yeah,
they went
sure.
from whatever county fair they were in.
Yeah, they were like sick of people.
But there's a turkey call on YouTube. Like turkeys, real ones. And you pull that up and play it and the turkey's like...
Oh,
and
he freaked at you, out. That turkey.
And they get all big.
Yeah.
And they like start strutting around.
Yeah.
Oh, where's he at?
It was funny because it was just hanging out, feathers all like down. Uh-huh. I turned on the turkey call and within 30 seconds, it fully like
poofed up.
Like peacocked itself, I guess would be the way to do it.
Peacocking,
yeah.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, and he was all like, I was like, oh my God, he's pissed.
Yeah, I don't know what that turkey was saying.
Or horny.
It was another male. It's another male and he's trying to.
Yeah.
They challenge each
he's
other.
He's like, this lady's mine.
The only problem is that she was freaking out like, I'm trouble.
I know, I was afraid I was getting in trouble by like the
no,
Polk
babe,
County.
Just keep it playing.
And it's like, you know, when you go to these
because
counties.
Because they started to gobble too.
These kids are so cute. They're all like 4-H kids and they're all like the sweetest kids.
They really
love
are.
Like
they put a lot
talking
of
about their animals and I didn't want to like upset the little like 12-year-old 4-H kid because right. I'm like messing with their turkey. So, you know.
I was watching. There's no kids around.
There. What about those kids? Oh my gosh. So we, like, you know, I always... Before I've met Jeff, I've always been a talker to. I will talk to anyone.
Right.
Like, everyone's like, oh, where is she? Oh, she's talking to some stranger over there. Like,
yep.
That's the way I am. So when we get together, it's horrible. And usually we're talking to different people, but in the same group. So we befriend these group of three kids who were raising these sheep from babies to now the fair.
Yeah.
And I don't really know much, like, I should probably know more when I'm engaging with kids, but we were asking them about their sheep and the parents were saying that they were raising the sheep and the money that they're going to raise and they're going to sell the sheep will go to their next sheep and hopefully it will kind of turn into this huge profitable thing to maybe pay for college.
Right.
So we were talking to this young boy and he's telling us all about his sheep Lucky. And he's a really good sheep, and he's super gentle. And I was like, what's going to happen with Lucky?
Oh,
he's like,
no.
Oh, I'm going to sell Lucky today. And I was like, oh, you're going to sell Lucky today?
No.
And I go, well, what's going to happen? He goes, oh, well, he'll go to slaughter tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, not so lucky, Lucky.
Well, the crazy part
But the best part, when it was just his final word, and he's so, this kid, he's like, I don't even know, 10 or 12. He's like, he's had a good run.
Oh, you know.
It's a matter of fact about it.
His grandpa or somebody taught him that.
He's like, he had a good life. I took care of him.
That's how it is,
but
though.
Yeah.
Well, and I was talking to the kids, and I'm like, well, don't you get attached? And they were, and the girl was talking about how she, at first, had got attached, and then she kind of doesn't now or has some trick about it. But that boy was attached to that. Because I asked him, and he just had this, like...
Try not to think about it.
Teeth closed, half smile, with this look in his eye like, I'm going to lose my buddy tonight.
Yeah, oh, that's sad.
It was tough.
But growing up, I grew up with 4-H and FFA and all that.
Oh,
jazz.
I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah, and it was horses, though.
I
didn't do any livestock. I wanted to, but growing up, we weren't poor, but, you know, we had to pay our way for a lot of things if we wanted to do it. But, I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, you grow up with an understanding that this is just kind of how it is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you raise your food, you raise your crops, you're going to eat your crops, you're going to eat your food, or, you know, sell them, mm-hmm. which kids make really good money.
Yeah.
Because well, everybody overbids at the fair.
Yeah, yeah. They want them to do good.
And those kids, they're all so, like...
They're hard workers.
The ones that we interacted with, so well-spoken
oh, yeah.
and just adjusted mm-hmm. compared to, you know, some
yeah.
kids these days, just... Different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Work,
well, it's
good work ethic.
Concentrated into
yeah.
a fair. All the kids that are like, fuck this bullshit, aren't there.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, the state fair is like the best of the
yeah,
best.
Like we were talking to
there.
This girl who was raising horses, mm-hmm. and she did the dressage and the various, I don't really know what all the equestrian activities are, but she was talking about how she gets up in the morning. It's like 4 a.m.
Oh,
she
yeah.
does it every day. She practices, and she just was so well-spoken. And
yeah.
gosh, what was she, 14, 15? Was pretty, and they're all so friendly.
They're yeah, and the cool thing that I saw, it's not always the cases, but the cool thing that I saw that when I was in 4-H and stuff like that, everybody's willing to help everybody.
Yeah.
Somebody's animal gets out, everybody's looking. Somebody yeah. needs a lead line, which is like a leash for a horse, because their horse broke theirs, somebody's got an extra one.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, it's a whole little community.
I was about to say,
yeah.
a sense of community. That's pretty
yeah.
great.
And to grow up with something like that's
so cool. hard to find sometimes these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was an interesting experience talking to those kids.
Well, back when I was a kid, the Yamhill County Fair, like, I did pony bronco riding and
yeah.
sheep bronco riding.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
Mutton busting.
Did you get bucked
off? Mutton busting. Yeah, that's it.
Did you, so you were like on it and just like running around?
You just hold on for dear
well,
life.
Like the sheep, I remember like I just had a hold of it. And I was like,
that's all you can do.
And I stayed on it until the buzzer went off.
Oh, cool.
But the pony I had, like, it ran straight, so it was easy to stay on, but like it ran right at the fence and turned and slammed its body in the fence and like smashed my leg.
Jeez.
And I fell off.
Rude.
Ponies
yeah.
are cute, but they are ornery.
But
if they want you off, they will get you off.
Have you ever participated in the grease pig contest?
Oh my gosh.
No, but I've seen a few.
Well, I did, and I caught the pig.
Did
yes.
you really?
Yes, I did.
How did you catch it?
I just got a hold of it and wouldn't let go.
You grabbed a towel and like...
No, I was just a kid. And I remember, like, I don't remember specifically...
Your strategy.
No. I don't remember specifically, like, the reaction of my dad and stepmom. But the end result was that pig got raised up on my grandpa's farm by us. And
oh,
we
cool.
Would, we had one of those station wagons, like the family truckster and...
Yeah.
Are you
talking
the
about
National Lampoon
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Vacation?
Yeah.
It's like one of those
yeah.
with the fake wood panel sides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we would go up and you'd have the bucket of slop, like making sure it didn't spill.
Yeah.
So funny.
To feed the pig. And then we
so
ate
that
it.
Was the prize for catching it? You got to keep it?
Well, if you caught the pig, you got to keep it.
Okay.
That's cool.
That's the point of the
I didn't realize that was the
pig.
End result. It's been many years since I've seen a grease pig contest.
Yeah.
But I have seen one.
Yeah, so we had a pig.
And you kept it, or did you eventually eat it?
We ate it.
Ah, dang it. Poor pig.
But it got big.
Yeah?
I can't remember. Like, my memory's so wasted from my alcohol and drug use.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
My memory's so wasted just from being 45.
I'm like, I'm 32. What's my excuse? Come up with something good. I don't know. Trauma. There
well,
we go.
It could be genetics.
It could be
I
the omeprazole.
Oh man, that stuff.
Could be.
So we talked about this on the first podcast, but we didn't really.
We did?
It was bad for you.
A little bit. We
yeah,
talked
the,
about it, and then we glazed right
the
over.
The one
it.
That we did.
The second podcast.
Oh, okay.
It was the second podcast. Yeah, so we.
Not the first one.
We yeah. have really bad, both Jeff and I have really bad acid reflux. And so he. I was taking Nexium and then omeprazole,
mm-hmm.
and my doctor told me that she didn't want to prescribe it to me because long term use can cause dementia.
Yep. And it'll tear your stomach up.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if it's that. But at the same time, I can't live without it. Like, if I my prescription ran out and I went mm-hmm. one day without it and I thought I was going to die.
A really good friend of mine, she does, I don't want to preach, like, herbal stuff or anything. She told me about taking calcium. Was it calcium? No, it was collagen. with vitamin C
for
acid the acid reflux. Okay. What that does is it actually heals your stomach lining, everything. It takes a while because it's not like bam, instant relief or anything.
What if I could do that at the same time you're still on there?
Yeah, maybe you could wean yourself off.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how the omeprazole. I don't think it would bother anything. It doesn't really interact with anything, but. Because that's what I told her. I was like, I don't want to go on omeprazole, but I have really bad acid reflux, especially at night.
That's when mine is the worst, at night. Mm-hmm. And then I'll wake up, like, not to get too gross, but I wake up and, like,
You'll be coughing and choking.
Yeah, and, like, I've had times where I've literally, like, thrown up from, like, the bile in my throat. And he'll be like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm really the worst sick person, too.
Because it's, like, it hurts. Well,
that's a side story, babe, that you need to tell right now.
Oh, just that I'm a terrible patient.
Are you?
Like, when I get sick, I want to be left alone. Like, I don't want... I'm not that girl that needs her hair held and her back rubbed. I'm like, get the fuck off me.
So,
like, I don't want you touching me.
So, like, she is, like, up, coughing, like, about to barf. I'm just like, oh, my God, I go into caretaker mode. What can I do? What can I help? Right. Just get away from me! I'm like, oh, my God, like...
My head spins around.
Like, literally, picture me in bed with the covers curled up with my eyes wide for 20 minutes afterwards. Like, oh, my God.
I don't know what I did wrong.
What did I do?
No, I didn't
see I'm just trying to help.
I know you're right. I just have to apologize. It's funny, too, because I don't get sick very often. Like, I'd say once a year I'll get, like, a bad cold.
Right.
And when we first started dating, I got the worst flu I've ever had in my life. I think it was like a month into our relationship.
Oh, no.
And I had a solid temperature for like over a week.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was so sick. One night I was laying in bed. I contemplated peeing myself because I couldn't move. I was in so much pain. I'm like, I'm just going to pee the bed. I'm good. I'll buy a new one.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So he was like, very good. And because it was the front end of the relationship, I was a little more tolerant of his caretaking. But still, I was a terrible patient.
But now you're just like,
Oh, I know. I'm trying to help her.
Yeah. He knows.
She doesn't want me to.
Yeah.
And, see, I'm the opposite. But, I'm like, can you get me this?
So, but I do have to read between the lines because it's like, she's like, oh my God, I'm so thirsty. I'm like, oh, what do you want? You want some water? No. I'm like, oh, do you want juice? We don't have any.
I'm like,
well, goddamn, lady, let me go get some. No.
He now knows.
And then she's like, no, don't do that. Like, you know, go on without me.
I'll just stay like, here and die.
Just live your life.
I live be here happy. Now.
Yes.
Be find happy. Another. I want you to move on.
Find another love. Jeez.
I know. And I'm also like, I have this obsession with taking my temperature when I have a temperature. Oh. Like 40 times a day.
If you open the drawer upstairs, there's like 4 thermometers
in there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I know I have one around here somewhere.
Well, I get them free from work because whenever we work, we can only keep them for a year because they only are like, their manufacturer warranty is only valid for a year. Therefore, their calibration is no longer valid. So we just purchase new thermometers every year.
Well, and it's just a single use, right?
What?
Single use. For your patients. Those little tiny ones?
Oh, no, they're not single use, but they're only valid for... Sorry, there's a bug.
And that was really cool.
She's like, then she went to India.
Yeah. Hands clasped together in front.
I was trying to kill a bug. But anyway, so yeah, I'm like, am I still a temperature? Do I still have a temperature? So then he comes
She's like, look, babe, 99.
Dude, it was like 103 when I had that flu. It was horrible.
Yeah, once.
But then it was over 100 for many days. So he'll come home. He's like, I don't feel well. I'm like, let's take your temperature.
I know it's temperature. I'm like, I can tell you I don't have one.
I mean, there's worse things.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a germaphobe by any means. I am obsessed with people's, what their temperature is, though. Hmm. Or at least people I care about.
What about when I moved in and there was mice in the other place I lived?
Oh, yeah.
So did gross. They come with you?
No.
Oh, good.
Well, I wouldn't let most of it in. It's still out.
In the house, yeah.
He had a mouse in his bedroom.
Mice.
And there were turds, like, in some of the things I was, like, helping him pack up.
And she was really...
And I was super grossed out by it.
Grossed out by it.
By a mouse?
It was. I'm sure it was cute.
But it shit everywhere, so...
Mice are kind of cute, though. My mom caught one once, so my mom has this cabin. Like
pictures of mice are cute.
And so she gets those little, like, sticky trap things, which yeah. are probably, like, I don't know, the worst death for a mouse, because you're, like, you're stuck, right? But you don't quite die.
Yeah, you just gotta starve to death.
Yeah, you eventually starve. So one night there was a mouse in the cabin, and we had seen it running across. So before we went to bed, she put the little sticky trap. And then in the middle of the night, you hear, and she caught the mouse.
Yeah.
So she wakes up at, like, 2 in the morning, puts the mouse back out on the deck, still on the sticky trap, and she's like, I'll just deal with it in the morning.
Oh, no.
So she goes out in the morning, and where she had thrown the sticky trap was next to a broom. It was, like, an old straw broom. And the mouse, it was like, well, I got nothing else to do. Ate, like, 3/4 of the broom.
Like, he's like, screw you. Like.
So she's like, motherfucker. So then...
Your mom said that?
I don't know if she used the word MF. She might have. She rarely swears, but she was pretty pissed the broom was, like, toast.
Okay.
So then it's raining out. She decides she's going to try to drown it. So she flips it over into a puddle. And I'm like, no!
Oh,
at that point, you know, my love the animals instinct kicks in. And I save the mouse. Oh. And I tell the mouse, I said, listen, this is your one chance to live. She will kill you as soon as I go home to Oregon.
Yeah.
So make a beeline out of this cabin.
That's something I would do.
How'd you get him off the sticky?
It was all wet at that point. Probably. The sticky, it freed itself. And then it, like, ran off underneath a wood pile. But
with clumps of dirt attached,
like,
to its
feet. It was not running correctly?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure a leg was broken, but...
Oh.
I like to think it lived, but odds are it didn't.
Well, that's a good segue into the musical portion of our program.
Yes.
Yeah, a little song that I wrote called I Don't Know.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like my theme song.
Just like you don't know that the if the mouse lived or not.
We hope it lived.
Sky is up. Earth is down. Earth is round, and I live in a town I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. All these numbers spinning around. Can't be found. I don't know the words.
You were close.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. On the ground, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Sky is up, earth is down, earth is round. Live in a town, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
There's that song.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It reminds me of me.
I don't know.
Yep. That's a famous line.
So we don't know.
It's so weird. Like, some of the songs that I've written, just like I play something and then I start to sing something just to see like where words would fit.
Yeah.
And I just make up something and then it ends up being the lyrics.
And then it works.
Yeah. Or there's like things in life, like a text he received about someone in his life. What was it? Begrudgingly, unwillingly, and begrudgingly. Oh. What was it? Oh, I can't remember.
Grumpy and begrudgingly.
Yeah, somebody was like, she went, but grumpy and begrudgingly. That sounds like a song.
Yeah.
Grumpy and begrudgingly.
My kid's mom, Barbara, I asked about Megan about going somewhere, and she says, yeah, grumpy and begrudgingly.
And then he made us, like, a song about it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really a song. I think it changed to something else.
Yeah. Well, it was like, grumpy and begrudgingly. That's how we proceed, you see. Off to school, off to work.
Don't call me some kind of jerk.
Or my boss is some kind of jerk. I can't remember.
Don't call me some kind of jerk. That was after we went to see Power Solo.
Yeah. That's
cool. And so I was inspired by Power Solo's power.
Yeah. Have you heard of... Has he shown you Power Solo?
Yeah. He showed me. He also... I was kind of blah the other day.
Yes!
And disappointed in all humankind, and he totally told me about a song that completely turned my day around.
I said this, as your doctor and lawyer,
yes,
I advise you listen to Rebel Girl at least 3 times.
Which one?
By Bikini Kill.
Have I heard that one?
I don't know, but it is the shit.
It is the shit. I listened to that on every single break I went on that day.
Yeah, she listened to it, and she, like, said, that worked. And she got up and went
It was great. Yeah. I was just like, oh, okay, this is going to be a great day.
You can find songs that just, like,
and then
change about.
So me, after she left, I'm like, man, I wonder if I could do that for a living.
Just tell people to take this song 3 times daily. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
How can I do
you
that
could,
for
You
could.
You know
living?
A lot of music, though.
Right?
I feel like you could.
Oh, man, but there's so much music I don't know about.
Yeah. You also have to have somebody who is in the mindset to allow that to...
To pay you for it? Yeah.
Well, no. No, allow the song to shift their mood.
Right.
Some people get so, you know...
Like... Well, I knew Rochelle had it in her.
That's why we get along.
I knew you had it in
her. I was like, oh, man, I just thought... Bikini Kill's Rebel Girl will, like... Put a pep in her step.
Yep. You guys should listen to it out there. Listen to this podcast. Yeah.
Bikini Kill, Rebel Girl. And I don't know any background on Bikini Kill except for the lead singer is a gal and it's guys playing the music. And I know that they toured colleges and I know it was a while ago. But the content of some of the songs... would lead me to believe that the singer suffered, like, some traumatic sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And also sings about, like, just your guys' fate as women in this society.
Right.
You know, like, the aspect of men and just the craziness that surrounds all that and the bad stuff.
Do you guys ever watch The Handmaid's Tale?
I haven't, but I was thinking about that today.
It's intense, and the thing that makes it most intense, I think, is the fact that I could see it happening.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away, but you guys should watch it. It's heavy, though. you gotta be ready for that.
We're watching The Terror right now.
Oh, it's so good.
So, it's the second season of The Terror, and it's kind of... Well, you know how American Horror Story, like, each season was a different thing?
Yeah.
With the same actors, but The Terror so far, second season, is just called The Terror, and it's a completely different... story. The first season was about...
It's kind of about, like, haunting, kind of, or
paranormal.
This one's more haunting.
Maybe.
It's paranormal.
The first one, like, if you haven't seen it, sorry, tune out now, whatever, spoiler alert, blah, blah, blah. It was, like, 1800s British naval, British government. They were trying to find the Northwest Passage.
Okay. Yeah.
And they would equip ships with 2 to 3 years of supplies, and they had just... I don't know when canning first started, but they'd use lead and make the cans, and so they were canning food, and they would go off, and then the
shit would freeze. The water would freeze.
Yeah, like the passage froze, so they had to wait it out.
Oh, no.
Well, they didn't even know if it was the passage. They're trying to find it.
Right.
And so, and you would have to, like, get out of the boat, and they'd have to chip the ice around the boat so it wouldn't squish it. And so, this storyline, like, they're out there, it freezes, and then they come across, like, this Eskimo woman and, like, her dad or grandpa or something. And the grandpa, like, something happens and he gets shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep her on board, and it's just this, it seems trippy, like, Indian native metaphysical
and there's this, like,
paranormally
polar bear weirdness. Element to it that is very confusing.
Well, you, yeah, and anyway, so as the story progresses, though, they realize, the doctor realizes they're being poisoned by the lead in the cans.
Yeah, like, people are starting to get sick.
And so it's, like, botulism or lead poisoning.
Yeah.
And you hallucinate, so now you're, like, not sure if the shit you've seen is real or it's those guys' hallucinations.
Oh, my gosh. They probably blame it on the natives.
So there's this whole season of this show. It was amazing. So this one is about Japanese Americans when they came prior to World War II starting.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I did not even realize all this.
Japanese Americans would get put in certain areas. They lived on a naval yard or whatever. Yeah. No. This was before that.
Oh, before. Sorry.
So then Pearl Harbor happened, and then they rounded all the Japanese up and put them in internment camps in Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, did you know this George, for years?
George Takei was in one.
Yeah.
The guy at Sulu from Star Trek.
Yeah.
So, and he's in this show, playing an old man.
But they were rounding up.
And it's paranormal,
it,
weird Japanese, like, spooky shit.
They know some spooky shit.
Oh, yeah. The well, Bakadan.
Yeah, well, it starts with this woman. She's making this, like, potion because this young man.
It doesn't show that at first.
It's really right off the beginning. Like, off the beginning. And I think there's some bad karma going with that because she supposedly was going to do this thing. That's what I think.
I'm the kind of person you can tell spoilers to and I won't remember.
It's I thought you were.
No.
At the very beginning.
No. Yeah. But
that's revealed, like, slightly after
Well, like, the first episode.
After the hair.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's good, though. It's good.
I like shows like that.
Yeah.
And I like. Like, attention to detail, like you saying they had to go chip the ice away from the ship. Like, because it expands and it contracts, and I can totally see that.
You know, a lot of my, like, random knowledge in life is from shit like that.
Yeah.
Just chose.
I like that,
I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like, you'd have to chip the ice away or else it would squish the ship because it's made of wood.
But we assume that, like, that's what really happened because,
like,
you know, it was on the show.
did you guys ever see The Quiet Place?
Was that the movie where
John Krasinski?
Yeah, I did watch that.
Deaf daughter. I loved that. Right off the bat, I noticed when they were in the store. Sorry, another spoiler alert. I'm not sorry. The majority of the stuff that was left on the store shelves was like chips.
Oh, like
things
that were
that
loud.
Rustle when you open.
Oh,
them.
Loud food.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
That was a hard movie to watch, like, harkening back to other episodes. We all know I watch my phone while I watched.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're watching a movie where they literally don't talk, it's hard to follow when you're also on your phone.
Well,
maybe not look at your phone.
So
I saw
A Quiet Place.
Like, there's a good thing.
I saw A Quiet Place in the theater. I know I'm outdated. It's been out forever, but whatever. And I'm trying to open my Red Vines, like, super quietly. Nobody's
but the monster's going to get you.
I'm like, I don't understand. Usually you have, like, a loud part in the movie you can cover with, you know, opening up something. Not in there, man.
Oh, it's like when you... I always smuggle food in the theater. Because it's just astronomical. The amount.
Yeah.
Like, $4 for a small soda.
I paid 99 cents for this soda. Come on.
So whenever we bring our cans in, I'm like...
crack it open.
And I'm like...
I've heard that so many times in there, though.
Oh, I know. They make a good money off that concession. I'm surprised how many people still buy that stuff.
It's part of the thing. It's like getting a tattoo. Like, for me, like, the pain and the sitting in a weird position, like, if you're not able to lay down, it's all part of the deal. And so, some people, like, going to the movies is, like, a $100 deal.
Highway robbery for soda is part of the experience.
But that's part of the experience.
I don't know
like,
how
it's
my
what,
parents...
It's what they like to do.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, some people like to do weird
I'm
shit.
I'm too frugal to spend, like, that much money on.
Well, it was a big special thing to go to the movies with my parents and everything. Because I had my stepbrother and sister and then the two adults and me. Like, that's not cheap. Just getting in the door.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're almost at an hour.
Okay.
And I'd like to start a new thing called the wrap-up.
Okay.
Oh. I just made it up.
Okay.
Okay, I'm on
so,
the
but
edge of
what,
my seat.
What have we learned tonight on the podcast? Like, because this is how I'm going to name the podcast.
No negative talk in my head at work or in life. Don't be a procrastinator.
Yeah, don't be a procrastinator is the one that I think.
Or try not to procrastinate.
Even if it's little steps, which sounds like procrastinating.
4-H is cool.
Sometimes our pets get eaten. That's a good title.
Sometimes our
pets. Well, I already came up with the title.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm sorry I procrastinated during my 4-H test, but I dab when I pee.
That's perfect.
Yep.
See?
There it is.
And the little wet spot by the, or the, let's see, shiny spot that's dry by the toilet might be urine.
No, it is
urine. I was trying to think, no. Water, that would evaporate.
Yeah, because we start in the toilet and we end in the toilet.
That seemed fitting.
So.
That was for Justin.
Yeah, I mean.
Who hopefully is safe.
The people who can't live with the gross talk just weed themselves out.
And I.
Which sucks, because I'd like everybody to listen, but.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to C. diff still, so.
Right.
I mean, if they can't handle poop talk, they. C. diff is coming.
One of the gals at work, like, I was in the TV room, and I know I'm talking past the point, but. We were joking about something. We were both cracking jokes. Super funny interaction. And then somebody came in and like I had a table and they were, and I was done and they had a, you know, something to eat. And I was like, oh, here, use this. And they're like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I've worn my welcome out here. And she thought that I was serious and that I was offended by her joking with me about me.
Oh, gosh, no.
So I found her and I said, hey, you know, I was not offended at all. Please don't think I was. Like, that was a great, like, that was, I treasure moments like that at work, like the joking and interaction. Yeah. She said, oh, and I said, well, so listen to my podcast. So, because I'm, you know, hounding people to listen. And so the next day I saw her and she goes, hey, I listened to the first podcast. Pretty cool. The second one I started listening to and it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, but I mean, that's fine.
Right. And I said, well, thanks for listening, though. Thanks for giving it
a
shot.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. We love you. Justin loves you from Portland.
He sure does.
And
he's now on a scooter.
Yeah, he's riding a scooter.
With his earbuds.
And he's riding a scooter, and an old Asian lady is chasing him.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
So, we're at J2K. What? How does this thing turn off? What happened?
Where's the remote?
Dang it.
God damn it, Justin. Hey, everybody. I just want to give a shout out to my buddy Mike Sampson, who owns Mike's Mobile Mechanics. He is located in Sheridan. So if you are listening to this podcast and you are in the Sheridan, Willamina, McMinnville, maybe Coast, Lincoln City, Salem area, Mike is an amazing mechanic, and he's pretty fairly priced, and he does good work. I've known him for a while, and I can definitely vouch for him. It's Mike's Mobile Mechanic, and his number is 971-241-1678. That number again, 971-241-1678. Mike's Mobile Mechanics. J2K. I can sing about my balls if I want to. I stand a wipe, don't you think that's interesting? J2K. Mr. Rogers makes me cry like a little bitch.
beach. Don't forget #totesdopeAF. Don't forget, you can email us at j2kpodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you want us to talk about.
And also, don't forget to use #totesdopeAF on Twitter, Instagram, and MySpace.
All those places. Good night, Christine.
Good night.